What about the pollsters? How did they actually do locally? Let me speak to Bill White from Lucid Talk. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Bill, I'm looking at the percentages and the predictions from earlier. You got some right, you got some wrong. You had more faith in the SDLP than the electorate had.
Indeed, yes. We did an exit poll yesterday, Frank, from 1 o'clock through to 10 o'clock. We got about 2,000 responses from our Northern Ireland Opinion Panel, or the representative Northern Ireland Opinion Panel. So we spotted, we had, for example, South Antrim, we had Danny Kinnan there as a slight favourite. The exit poll then showed that it was going towards Paul Girvan, the DUP. We got all the other seats right, the predictions in terms of East Belfast, that Gavin Robinson would win that, contrary to what the bookmakers were saying. So I'm doing my little bit of marketing here at the moment before I build up to your question. And yes, the building up to your question, we did say, well, we said South Belfast was too close to call, trending towards the SDLP, but that's always, you know, we did say it was too close to call. That was the official thing. It was within the, well within the bounds of error. So yes, it went towards the DUP. Likewise, South Down, too close to call, but Sinn Féin won it in the end. And Foyle, we said that it was possibly the SDLP again would probably hold up, but they lost it by 100 votes. So if you like a little bit of luck in that, yes, we did. We thought the SDLP had enough in the tank, if you like, to at least hold one or two of those seats. But that didn't happen. But all the others we got spot on in terms of the seat predictions, to be fair.
What does it say about the future for parties like the UUP and the SDLP?
I don't know, Frank. I don't know where the UUP go from here. I mean, this is a devastating blow for the UUP, taking into account they only got two MPs back on the green benches again 2 years ago. And there is a little side point in that, you know, most people might know this, but there's quite a good revenue stream coming through in research grants for staff and all that type of thing if you have MPs. Now the big parties, the DUP and Sinn Féin, if I remember, Sinn Féin do get those funding, although they don't take their seats, they do get expenses and research funding and have office expenses and that type of thing, which is quite, you know, quite reasonable from Westminster. So the UUP are going to miss that badly. You know, the image is that it's now the two big players, the DUP and Sinn Féin are going to be in the game. The SDLP, again, a bad blow for them. They actually were always had two or three MPs. The UUP, for a period of time, didn't have any MPs. So it's going to be difficult for them to where they go and how this affects, obviously, the upcoming talks in terms of re-establishing the institutions here locally. And, you know, and then, of course, you've got the wider, you know, chaotic scene, if you like, in Westminster, you know, and what's going to happen over there, which is going to be fascinating as well. So it's a very uncertain time.
Chris Hazard from Sinn Féin, speaking to me earlier, was saying that it's because they're abstentionists that that's one of the reasons they win the election, one of the reasons they do so well in the Westminster poll, because they don't actually go to Parliament and sit on the benches. Lucid Talk, if they were to do a survey or a poll in relation to that, do you think that is as important to Republicans as it used to be?
That's a good point, actually. We do run quarterly polls, and that's been thrown a little bit out of kilter because of these elections that we seem to be having every 3 or 4 weeks. So we've been doing election polling, but we do regular quarterly polls. That's a very good idea. We haven't researched that before, and that may be well worth doing. Look, we pick up all the comments from our polling, Frank. We get literally thousands of comments, and people, you know, don't hold back, you know, in giving their comments in our online polls. So looking at the Republican vote, the people who vote Sinn Féin, there is... Chris has got a point there. There is substantial support that they should not take their seats at Westminster. It's an old standing Republican tradition going back decades and decades, so way back to the, you know, before the foundation of the Northern Ireland state, way back to 1916, of not taking that oath. So it's a very difficult thing. There is a lot of support there, and I don't see, obviously, Sinn Féin seem quite firm on it for understandable reasons. I don't see them giving that up, because even though in this situation, those seven votes that they would have in Westminster could come into play if this rainbow coalition could be pulled together, you know, so... but I don't see that as a factor, because he is right. There is support there for that abstentionist policy. Whether people actually vote for Sinn Féin, just because it's the abstentionist policy, I don't know. I think it's a mixture of factors, but it contributes to their support, I have to say, yeah.
Do you think Jeremy Corbyn would be coaxing them to change their mind?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, there's been a number of Labour people on this morning saying that Theresa May's credibility, I'm sure you've covered this earlier with your other contributors, right? You know, Theresa May has lost her credibility, etc. You know, her position's becoming untenable, you know, as even this day progresses. So it wouldn't surprise me if Jeremy has been in contact with some members of Sinn Féin about that, but he would know the Sinn Féin leaders, of course, very well, because he's had very close connections with them, so he probably knows this abstentionist policy is very important to them, an important part of their culture, if you like, in terms on the Republican side. It's interesting, actually, you could take, you know, talking about taking the oath, which is the big barrier, seemingly, you know, to taking the seats. I mean, they could take the, you know, it's quite legitimate to take the oath in Irish. They don't actually have to pledge an allegiance to the Queen. They just have to acknowledge that she's the current head of state. They could dress it up by saying, well, you know, we don't agree with Northern Ireland and all that sort of stuff. So there is wriggle room there, but you still have to, within the oath, sometime, you can word it whatever way you want, apparently, but somewhere in that oath, you have to acknowledge that the current Her Majesty the Queen is the current head of state of the United Kingdom, which is, you know, it's a difficult one for them to cross, I would say, Frank.
Bill, good speaking to you. Thanks for coming on. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks,
Bob. Bill White, if you want to go to the Lucid Talk website, you can follow more of their surveys and their polls. 12 minutes past 10, this is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning.